How can you be legal with the music and videos that you play at your church? How can you tell your pastors yes when they want to play something in their sermon or at an event on screen? How can you make sure that your copyright and streaming licenses are in place at your church? We'll talk all about that today.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome to the show today. Today on the podcast, I have David Leuschner from Digital Great Commission Ministries. I recorded today's podcast at the Church Facilities Conference and Expo a few months ago in front of a live audience, so you're going to hear that. You're also going to hear us take live questions from the audience about licensing, about streaming, about what you can and can't put on certain platforms like Facebook and YouTube, when they'll take you down, and what you can do to stay legal at your church. We're going to talk about the differences in copyright and streaming licenses, the difference between the two. Again, what you can do, what you can't do. We're not lawyers at all, but hopefully we're going to give you some tips today on how you can stay legal when it comes to your music and your streaming. Also, we want to give you ways that you can say yes to your pastor. You know, a lot of times your pastor might come to you and say, hey, can we do this? Can we play this music? Can we play this video? And your first response might be, no, we can't do that. It's illegal to do that. So we want to provide you ways today that you can say yes to your pastor and provide things that you can do with copyright and streaming licenses and all that stuff. So we're going to dive into all of that with David Leuschner from Digital Great Commission Ministries here in 1 second, right after this.
With so many people living on the go, connecting with your community anytime and anywhere is crucial. That's why we created a way for you to do this. Introducing Subsplash Live. With Subsplash Live, you can stream your content in real time. Your weekend services, sermons, events, youth camps, worship gatherings, anything. Making it even easier to share gospel-centered content and engage your community right where they're at. And Subsplash Live is powerfully integrated with the rest of the Subsplash platform, so your live stream works everywhere, your mobile app, TV app, and website, plus syndication to the most popular platforms. We've made it easy to get started with Subsplash Live. With no restrictions on equipment, you can get started with something as simple as your smartphone or webcam and share it on all of your channels. Plus, with our all-in-one media solution, your live stream is automatically converted into on-demand content and published to your media library. Subsplash Live is a simple and powerful way to reach your audience and share your content. And now, as part of the ultimate engagement platform, going live has never been easier.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Carl Barnhill. This is David Leuschner. David is the Executive Director of Digital Great Commissions Ministries. Is that right?
That's right. We tried to pick the longest name possible.
That's right. All right. So give me a little blurb of what your ministry is all about.
Yeah. So what we do is we're a nonprofit, 501c3. We try to give away as much resources as possible. So we're not here to make money. That's not our goal. We try to give away. We have a podcast. We do articles. We will come to your church for free because we're donor supported. We'll come to your church for free and do a site assessment of your tech, your visitor engagement, all of those kind of things. So we try to keep it free. Obviously, we offer some services that are paid as well. But for the most part, we give everything away for free. That's our goal, is to help churches and help you look like a pro when you're running it.
So I'm noticing a repeated word there is free.
Yeah.
So, man, that's awesome that you do that for churches. So we're here at CFX. We're talking about copyright.
Yeah.
And streaming licenses, which people have lots and lots of questions about. You're going to be doing a breakout. I think it's tomorrow, right?
That's right. Tomorrow.
So give us an overview of your breakout, and then we'll kind of dive into some specific questions.
Yeah. Well, the basic overview is this. You sit in that meeting, right? and you say, hey, the pastor says, I'd like to do this. And everybody's like, you can't. I'm sorry. It's illegal. There's no way. It's impossible. And you just get the negative no, 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 no. So what this class is going to do is it's going to help everybody understand that there is a lot more you can do with copyrights than you think is possible. On streaming or, you know, with ball games or whatever it may be in your church, there's a lot more that you can do with copyrights based on the way the U.S. system is set up. Everybody thinks, hey, it's illegal if I do this, but there's some things called cease and desist, and there's some technicalities that we're going to get into that allow churches to do more with copyrights than they think that they can.
All right, so I think a lot of people are, it's a vague topic, or the companies that shut us down, Facebook, YouTube, right, that sort of thing. We can be scared of those companies. Oh, I don't know if I can put this up. I don't know if I can play Spotify as my pre-music and my worship experience, things like that. So walk me through what I need to protect my church to make sure that I'm legally covered, and maybe walk me through what I can do with those types of licenses.
Yeah, so when it comes to streaming specifically, YouTube and Facebook, they are private companies. They can do whatever they want to do. YouTube is quite known for even not allowing churches to, you know, basically limiting searches and things of that nature. But all of them have outlets that allow you to request permission or allow you to register, whether it be specific music or specific videos, to allow for use. Now, YouTube handles things a little bit differently. They own all the copyrights, and they're very incentivized to, because they make money that way, they're very incentivized to not allow copywritten material on or flag it for somebody else's use so that they can put, you know, their commercials on it. Whereas Facebook, the way they're written, the way their terms of use is, it's on you. So they allow a lot more content on without permission. We're talking about without permission here. But when you go to the permission status, which we'll talk about in the class, but when you go to permission status, which all of them have a route of doing that and a route of applying for permission, it's very easy. There's a key word here called seeking permission, which means you don't particularly have full permission to get it, but you're seeking permission, and most of those outlets allow that. Then you can use it on Facebook and YouTube. But again, they're a private company and they can shut you down for anything. So the best thing to do is have your own streaming outlet that you stream on, that you can protect for your church, that's all yours.
Yeah, I totally agree with that method, that my main platform, my main push, where I'm pushing people to for my stream, and I want to get your opinion on this, should be my website. I should go to firstbaptist.com/live and have the church online platform, and that is my hub that I send people to. I can also stream on Facebook, stream on YouTube, but I control the environment on my website. I control what we stream. I control maybe through a Resi, you know, or something like that, some type of streaming provider. I can control that platform, where I can't control YouTube. I can't control Facebook. They can take me down for whatever, whenever they want. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I like to say is Facebook's your drive-by media, right? It's assume it's the same person that's driving down the street and sees your church on the side. They kind of wave and go, oh, that looks cool, and they keep on driving. Those are your 30-second views. You know, YouTube, a little bit more younger generation, but, you know, that's what YouTube is. But yes, those two can shut you down. So I totally agree with you. You have to stream on your website. That's where your home site is. It's where your people are going to go, and you have full control over it, and can prevent them from shutting you down. Absolutely agree with that.
So one thing that we were talking about before we stepped up here is that churches can, you mentioned this a little bit, that churches can do more than they think they can do. That really, what YouTube and Facebook are threatened by is you taking their money, taking their, you know, dipping into their profits in any way. But that they, if they don't, do they care about you at all, or is it all about the money?
Well, what we're going to talk about in the class, and I'll hit three basic points here for this podcast, is what they're afraid of is they don't want you to saturate the market. Meaning, if they have a movie coming out, or if they have something that the copyright owner wants to do, and you're saturating the market and taking money away from them, you know, for example, I want to play a Disney movie in my auditorium, but I'm playing it before the movie comes out because I got it, you know, digital download or something like that. I worked with the church on this specific thing. Disney came in and said, cease and desist. We're trying to make money here and you're taking money away from us. Super Bowl is a good example. You know, they want it out there. They want it in the bars. They want it in the churches. They want everybody watching the Super Bowl, the big game, I guess I should call it. They want everybody seeing that game. But if you're charging tickets for people to get in to see the game, they're going to shut you down. They're going to issue a cease and desist. That's the same case for even like a bar or somewhere where you would go in. If they're charging a cover charge where you can't get in unless you're paying money, they're going to shut you down. So you basically have some things that you can't do or if you're changing the meaning of the content. So that's another thing. So we'll take the Super Bowl again as an example. If you're eliminating all the commercials when you play it, then that's an issue. Or if there's an ad that your pastor wants to play, like I worked with a church who wanted to play an AT&T ad. AT&T said, no, you can't play it. And I said, well, show me what you're doing. Well, they chopped out the ending portion that said AT&T on it. We put that back in, reapplied with AT&T, and they said, sure, no problem, you can play that ad, because they were changing the meaning of the content and taking away their ability to make money.
So I think a lot of people sometimes just don't know. They right. don't know how to seek permission. They don't know what's legal, what's illegal. So maybe give us some clear paths. You've talked about that a little bit, but give me a clear path to go, okay, I'm going to play something on Facebook. I need to play a movie at my church. Give me some clear direction to how do I accomplish those things.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do two things here. I'm going to give you the clear path second, but the first thing I'm going to say here is with copyrights, the in the U.S. system, it is put civilly out there. Now, there's some obvious examples where it's not civilly enforced. If you do DVD, back in the day, if you did DVDs and distributed, the FBI looked at that as a money crime or whatever. But generally, 90% of copyrights are civilly enforced. And what that means is the copyright owner it's on them to actually issue a cease and desist and say, you're violating my copyright, which they can do even if you ask and get permission correctly. Meaning, even if you go through all the steps and you get it correct, a good example would be political candidates. They go through all the steps and they're playing music and that from an artist and they've gotten all the permission. The artist is like, I just don't align with that political candidate. They can issue a cease and desist. So one of the fears.
So if I don't like how you're using my stuff,
I can tell you to stop.
I can say stop.
But the reason why that's good news is it's not the federal government coming in and saying, this is illegal, you are breaking a law. It is a copyright owner who is civilly saying, I am going to say, I would like you to stop. Most of the time, copyright owners want their stuff out there. So as long as you're doing due diligence with CCLI, some licensing companies like CVLI, so on and so forth, then they're going to allow you to do what you're doing. So you said give a specific example. Let me give you a specific example with movies. I'm not going to get into Facebook and YouTube because some of that can get really detailed. But I'm going to get into an example with a movie. Somebody wants to play an Indiana Jones Last Crusade movie. The pastor wants to play a one-minute clip, right? Paramount, who owns that clip, essentially has an email that you would email and you do some specific things. How long is the clip? Where's the clip being played? How many people are gonna view it? So on and so forth. You send that to Paramount. They will most likely not answer you, and here's why. Because you are now in the seeking permission mode. They want you to play the clip, but they also want the ability down the road to say, stop playing the clip. So as long as you go through, and we talk about it in the class, and if people contact me, I can get into more detail and the specific things of seeking permission. But you seek that permission, and that's the key, seeking permission, and then you have the ability to play the clip. And there's some credit you need to put on there, like you need to list all your licenses. You need to put down your CVLI license, your CCLI license. You put all that on the clip. You give credit to them on the clip when you play it for your pastor. But as long as you do those things and you're seeking permission, they'll let you play it.
Okay, so let's talk through each of those and what they cover. Okay, let's hit CCLI first. Why should I get it? What does it cover?
Well, most people think of CCLI, they think of the lyrics in my auditorium. But CCLI also covers streaming your lyrics online. They cover the ability to record rehearsal tapes. If you go to their website, there's about five or six things that they cover that deal with streaming as well as in person. And the reason why you want them is because they are paying the artist money. They do a review, I think it's quarterly, I can't remember exactly, but they do a review, and you are paying the artist money. So you're doing due diligence to pay the artist money. So when we talked about the Indiana Jones clip, when you put CCLI on there, people are like, well, how does that even apply to streaming or, you know, in person? You're telling everybody that watches that clip, I am paying the artist money. CVLI is another one, which allows you to play movies in your auditorium. It doesn't cover streaming, but by putting that license on the clip and overlaying it on the clip when you play it, you're telling everybody, I pay the artist money for this. I am doing due diligence. You're also telling the movie studio when you send the email in and seeking permission and they see the clip, because one of the things I say to put in the email is a link to the clip so that they can actually see what you're going to air. When you do that, they're seeing all these licenses and they realize you're legit. Most of the time, I've been doing this for over 20 years, they do not dispute it and they let it air.
So I think you bring up a great point, and I want to dive back into what licenses you should get for your church here in a second. But I think you bring up a great point in that at the end of the day, from a moral standpoint, am I having integrity? Am I doing my due diligence? I see a lot of churches that are maybe excuse it away. Like, you guys know that you can't show a YouTube clip or pull a movie down or show some artist's song video or something to your kids, to your church. And sometimes the response I get is, oh, I know, but you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's got to be something in us that is going after due diligence. So maybe talk through that. At the end of the day, from a moral Holy Spirit standpoint, you know, me at least trying to be legal and trying to pay the artist for their work, walk me through that.
Yeah, so the way I would look at it is like this. It all comes down to money for me. So from a moral standpoint, if you're charging tickets or if you're charging for people to come in, then the game changes. If you're Nike or a secular organization, the game changes because you're a for-profit entity, that you're charging money. And as a church, if you're charging money for somebody to come in, then everything changes, right? Now, if you're playing that YouTube clip we talked about in a conference, if you're charging money to attend the conference and you're playing the YouTube clip, you're in violation. From a moral standpoint, that probably shouldn't be happening unless you get full, solid permission from the user. And that goes beyond seeking permission. That's getting actual permission from the artist. But from a moral standpoint, the due diligence piece is so key. A lot of churches will go in and just play it and do it, right? They don't do any due diligence to do any licensing at all. From a moral standpoint, it's not legality, it's due diligence and making sure that if the artist puts out a piece of material, that they are getting credit for it and that they are getting their money for it. Otherwise, it's just kind of stealing from the artist. So for me, it's not a legality thing. You know what I mean? It's not a legal thing. Like, we're not going to jail for doing this. But it is a due diligence. It is a moral thing to say, hey, we want to make sure the artist gets full credit. So I do talk about, hey, you can do a lot of things here with copyrights that you probably didn't realize you could do. But inside of that, we want to make sure there's credit and we want to make sure that the artist is getting their money.
So I think this applies not only to what I can show in my church, but also as content creators, this applies there too. At 1230 Media, we're a media company. So if you were to take our produced video and buy it and play it at your church and then give it away to five other churches, what you're doing is you're taking money away from me that I could be getting from those four other churches, mm-hmm. and I won't receive that money, which means I can't make more resources for the church. Yep. And I think a lot of people do that on YouTube as well, that they might grab a video. I know this from several artists that we work with, that a church will pull down, maybe even pay for it, download it, and then put it up on YouTube, and then another church or hundreds of churches download that clip from YouTube and play it at their church, or play it, just stream it from YouTube. And what that's doing is that's stealing from the artists that they cannot get money from those other churches to come to a company like us to make more resources. So it all does work together, and it really does steal from the artist. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that. But there's two different types of media outlets. There's a media outlet that wants everybody to see it, and they want to get it out there as much as possible. And then there's media outlets like yours that are creating content for purchase. And I think you have to look through that a little bit differently. So I mentioned earlier I worked with a church that did an AT&T advertisement. AT&T wants that ad everywhere. They want it out there. They want people to see it. So that's a little different from, say, 1230 Media, who they want their product out there, but they also want to make sure that you know it's paid for and legitimately used according to your terms and conditions. There's two different types of media outlets. You know, like the World Series is broadcasting. They want as many people in the world to see that and see their ads as possible, versus we'll use 1230 Media as an example. Or there's a lot of other outlets that do what you do even in the secular world, right? And they want you to pay for it before you use it, and they give you either single use, or you know, you can maybe use it at all of your church's outlets, but you can't distribute it to other churches. That starts to go back to what we talked about earlier, the old school DVD thing, where you're copying a DVD and then you're distributing it to a bunch of people. That's kind of the difference, the two different types of media outlets.
Okay, so let's go back to what licenses my church needs, and then we'll take some questions from you guys. So CCLI, and I want to bring up CCS as well.
Yeah,
because
Christian
there's
copyright.
A difference, yep, between like sheet music, copying the sheet music. There's a difference between performing that music in my church. There's a difference between that and having my personal Spotify account playing the pre-service music. There's a difference in all of those things from a music standpoint from CCLI and CCS. So if I have both plus CVI, then I should be covered on all fronts, both music and video. Would I be correct in that?
Yes. So the ones that I would recommend are CCLI, Christian Copyright Solutions, which is what you just
CCS,
mentioned.
Yes.
CCS. CVLI, which is Christian Video Licensing. ScreenView is another one that I would recommend. So those are kind of the four that I like to tell people to start off with. And then there's some other third parties like Swank.com and some other third party outlets that you will end up paying money if you go to them, but they will help you get all the licensing and so on and so forth. So if you go to a third party outlet, you're going to end up paying money. If you do it direct, odds are it'll either be free or the movie licensing company will say, hey, here's how much you owe in order to play it.
Okay, so let's walk through those one more time because I saw some people taking notes. So
yep.
CCLI.
Yep.
CCS.
Yes, sir.
CCVI.
Yep. I think it's CVLI, Christian Video Licensing,
yes,
Institute.
So those three are the main ones. And then, yep, what was the last
ScreenView.
One? ScreenView.
And then another one is Swank.com. Swank is a company that for educational purposes will go in and help you secure all of your licensing for you. But again, if you want to do it direct, if you want to go direct to the platform like Paramount or Disney or whoever it is, and you're seeking permission, 9 times out of 10, almost every time they will let you play it and they won't charge anything. I didn't mention this, you do need to be prepared though if they come back and say, we don't want you to play it. Sometimes it takes them a month, 2 months to get back to you, but you do need to be prepared if they come back and say, do not play it, we're issuing a cease and desist, or here's how much we're going to charge you for it. You do need to be prepared to remove it. So one thing I say is, hey, make sure you talk to your pastor, especially with movies. We're going to play this clip, but there's a chance next week the movie studio could come back and tell us, hey, we don't want you to play it, or here's how much it costs. Are you willing to pay that fee, or let's do the sermon in a way where we can edit it out?
So let's only print 200 postcards with the movie on it instead of 1,000.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. All right, let's take a few questions from you guys, and give me a second because I'm going to repeat your question for the podcast recording, okay?
So my question has to do with having
Good.
Okay,
so the question is, make sure I got you right. You've purchased a soundtrack, and you're trying to perform that music in your church, and you've been told by the artist to not?
Not the artist. The tech team says.
You've been told by the tech team that you can't do that. Okay, so you've purchased the soundtrack, you want to perform that, your tech team is telling you that's illegal, you can't do that. You want to answer that?
Well, first off, it's not illegal. Secondly, I think it's Christian Copyright Solutions covers that in terms of tracks being played online. Again, like we said earlier in the podcast, we can't control what Facebook and YouTube are going to do, but I know hundreds and hundreds of churches that do that every week without an issue. The problem you're going to have with YouTube specifically is if it sees the track as exactly like what the artist is doing, and it's not illegal, they just may flag it and tag an advertisement to it or give you an opportunity to take it down. Facebook rarely ever does anything with that. But you can also take Christian Copyright Solutions and you can apply that to Facebook and YouTube. It's a little bit of a convoluted process, but you can apply that to YouTube and Facebook and tell them you have permission to do that. You have to do it on a weekly basis, unfortunately, and say this is what we're doing this weekend. And YouTube and Facebook still have the right to pull you down. So going back to what we said earlier, I always recommend that you point your people to your website with a stream that you can control.
It's got to go through Resy too. Because if you stream on your YouTube, live YouTube,
and you put,
it on, put it on your website, that's not going to work because you're pulling YouTube.
Yeah.
It's got to be through Resy, through a streaming provider that you control.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Resy is amazing. I love Resy. They're unbelievable. But there's also StreamMonkey, Iconic. There's a lot of companies that do this and allow you to embed it right on your website. When you do that, you have full control over all of the copyrights. And the copyright owners, again, they're the ones that would have to say, hey, we don't want you to use our product, which as long as you have CCLI and you're paying them through Christian Copyright Solutions, some of these others, you're completely okay.
Let me ask you a question. Your soundtrack, is that Christian music or is that...
from
Chriswell.com. Okay. The reason I ask is because the CCLI and CCS has hundreds and thousands of songs in that library, and I want to ask you this, it may not be in that library. It's not just a blanket covers everything.
Yeah.
They are specific songs. Now, there's a lot of them, but there are specific songs in those two libraries that cover certain specific things.
Yeah, they cover about 90% of every song that you would ever choose. The ones they don't cover are typically new songs that are coming out that the artist really wants to promote themselves, and they don't want a lot of churches singing them. But you can still go direct to the artist's management company or to the record company and ask for permission, just like you would with a movie outlet. And you could seek permission the same exact process and get permission to do it that way.
Now, Facebook might not know that you've gone and gotten permission, so they could still flag you, and you just say when they flag you, hey, we have permission and here's our documentation.
Yep. YouTube allows you to upload your documentation in advance. They like to change the process every 3 months, though, so just be aware of that. YouTube's very... They change the process a lot. And then Facebook is typically after the fact, but Facebook again puts most of the onus on you. So they let a lot of things go because their terms put it back on you versus YouTube puts it on themselves.
Good. All right, we'll take a couple more questions. Yeah. Yeah, great question. All right, so the question is, if you purchase a piece of media content from a media provider like 1230 Media or Igniter Media or some type of media company like that, can I put it on my stream? Can I put it on different campuses of my church? Can I put it on Facebook and be legally covered? Did I get that right? Okay, the answer to that is it depends on the media company. At 1230 Media, we include that. Once you purchase it, you can put it everywhere you want to But we understand that your expressions are going to, we hope that your expressions are going to be online as well. Meaning you're going to play it in a physical environment. It's going to be on your live stream. It's going to be on your replay. What we don't want you to do is take that one piece of media and put it on YouTube by itself so that other people can just watch it or pick it up or download it or whatever. We need that money to make other resources. But if it's in your stream, we don't care. But I would double check with each media provider because that's not a blanket that depends on the media provider. That answer your question?
Yeah,
do you have a question over here?
Can I add something to that? So your media provider, in this case 1230 Media, you cover that. And you should look through your terms and make sure it's covered with, you know, whether it's Igniter or whoever it is. But let's say you didn't and you aired it, but you've paid for the content, right? Typically, the media provider will come in and say, please stop. That's the cease and desist. They're not going to sue you and come after you and throw you in jail and a lot of things that I've heard technicians say. They don't do that. They typically just come and say, please stop. If you would like to do this, here's how much it costs. Yeah. They don't typically come after you hardcore. If you've done due diligence in terms you've bought it from them, you've, you know, made sure you've purchased it, you know, it's paid for, and you aired it because your pastor was like, hey, I want to air this. It's quick and fast. He handed it to you 5 minutes before the sermon and you aired it. You know, they don't typically come in and like come after you legally. They just say, hey, you need to pay us for what you did or take it down.
Yep. And what media companies used to do is a streaming license was an additional fee. And there's still some companies that do that. So just kind of check with the media provider wherever you get your content from, whether you have to purchase an additional web or streaming license to put it not just in your physical environment, but put it on your streaming platforms as well. Yes, sir. Good. So he's asking about reporting songs to CCLI and CCS. I'm going to attempt this and then I want you to. It's a yearly thing. You need to do it every year or as often as you need to, but at least once a year. It is your responsibility to report every song that you play and everything that you do. You want to answer that?
Yeah. So it's supposed to be every year. And if they come to you and say, please report, it probably means because they haven't seen any reporting. And sometimes they'll even ask for it quarterly. But that's how the artist makes their money. So when you report those songs, they look at those songs and then they pay out to the artist however many times it's been played. So it's supposed to be every year. But I think CCLI, if they don't see reporting for 2 or 3 years or if they see what they consider a violation, sometimes they make it quarterly.
And also report too, not just Sunday morning, but if you've played that, and that's why CCLI and CCS are so important, is because it's covered under different things if you played on Sunday morning versus an event. Like if it's an event outside Fall Festival, that's covered under a different thing because there is a church exemption thing in CCLI that you have an exemption to play stuff in church, play songs in church, where they're not going to come after you as much. But if you did that same song in an outdoor fall festival, it's a different thing. So if you had both of those CCLI and CCS and reported it every single year, if you could report it quarterly, that'd be even better. But every year, then you're in good shape.
Yeah, let me say this too. It can get complicated, right?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. If you have these, you know, CCLI, CVLI, so on and so forth, you are doing due diligence. The issue is if you're egregious in the violation, yep. Meaning I'm going to take an entire movie and just play it on Facebook, or I'm just going to play a movie in my auditorium all the time, you know, without getting the proper licensing or so on and so forth. Egregious is the word. So if you guys have CCLI, if you have CVLI, if you have a couple of these licenses and you play something that's in violation of that, these companies don't come after you. If they do see it or hear about it or there's an issue, they typically just send you a letter saying, hey, please modify what you're doing or pay us because of this, that, or the other thing. A lot of times they don't even do that. So my point is, do your due diligence, but don't be thinking, oh my gosh, am I going to go to jail if I do this wrong? Yeah. As long as you're doing your due diligence, you're an education institution. You're a church. You're not a secular institution that's out to make money. And I think that's the key in terms of using these different things and feeling the freedom to use them as long as you are doing your due diligence to pay when you need to pay.
Yeah, and as a media company that you were asking earlier, if you're asking the question, like if you come to us and ask, honestly, that goes a long way. That just shows like, okay, you want to do it right. You want to try to figure out what's going on. If you do that and have that posture, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Like, there was a church I was working with that wanted to play the Super Bowl, and they were very nervous about playing it because they were doing some outside activities and there was some money involved and so on and so forth. I just emailed the NFL. I got an email response back from a lawyer saying, yes, you can play it. Here's what we don't want you to do. If you prevent entry to the event, unless they pay you money, then we don't want you doing it. But if you allow entry and you're not charging money, as in you're not creating a profit center, absolutely you can play it, no problem. I got a response from them like 2 days after I emailed them. So these companies want to hear from you.
Yep.
And if you're asking, they will give you almost anything. It's when you're not asking and when you're trying to kind of avoid, that's kind of the issue.
And I think we'll land on that point. This is definitely an area that is not an ask forgiveness instead of permission. This is definitely if you can be proactive, seek permission, you're going to be in better shape than if you just do it, maybe no one will find me.
Seeking permission, we said it earlier in the podcast, those two words are very key.
All right, we'll land it here. David and I will stick around for a little bit. We don't have another recording for a little while, so we'll hang out here if you guys have any more questions, all right? You guys have a great day. Thank you very much.
At 1230 Media, we want to help you make Sunday happen. That's why we've created a library of content with great media perfect for your Good Friday and Easter services. We've produced hundreds of Easter openers, mini-movies, countdowns, themed service packs, editable graphics, full series kits, and more. We want to give you powerful media content to help you share the message of Jesus' death and resurrection this Easter season. Start downloading Easter media content today. It's all in the library at 1230.media/Easter. That's 1230.media/Easter.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Well, guys, that is it for us this week. Next week, we have a great episode lined up with two lighting experts, Tom Stanziano and Stephen Ellison. These guys are great experts on the topic of lighting in your worship experience. I am not a lighting guy at all. I know enough to be dangerous, so you're going to hear me ask a lot of elementary questions to these guys if you're a production guy who's been in lighting, AVL for a while, you might fully go deep with these guys. But if you're not, we're going to scratch the surface as well, and it's going to be very on your level as well. So we'll do kind of surface level stuff and a deep dive into lighting in your worship experience. So we're going to talk about evaluating your lighting fixture output, how to enhance your lighting with color, and more. That's next week on the show. Great episode for production and lighting folks, especially next week. We'll go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend at your church. Go make Sunday happen. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit makingsundayhappen.com.